can travel 400 miles per hour.
Radio.
That's about as fast as a plane. As fast as a jet plane. I mean, those you go to 500 to 600 miles an hour, but that's pretty doggone fast for a train. And I think to myself, wait a minute, we're the people who invented math and language and science. We're the ones who created those. And imagine where the world would be today if we had not been interrupted and impeded by slavery. Imagine what the people who built the pyramids could have given the world today. And when you look in the mirror and you see yourself, when you acknowledge that, hey, I am a descendant of the people who built the pyramids, then you understand you have an obligation to do better. You have an obligation. And that's what you're here for now. The telephone number is 646-787-1933, 646-787-1933. We're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines here now. Let me get, see if we can grab a caller here. Caller from 917, you're on live with the Black Channel. Okay, there's some clown is watching the Property Brothers. I recognize the guy's voice. He's just not paying attention to his phone. Caller from 239, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello. My name is John from Florida.
Okay, you're going to need to get closer to your phone, John.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Can you hear me better?
Okay, it's John from Florida. What's on your mind?
Last night broadcast, you know, pay for what you, get what you pay for. Yeah. Oh, you know, caller that had called in, you know, talking about, you know, he was with a white girl and he only been, he was saving up $40 a month and all that. I mean, he just needed to get like power, wealth and influence. You know what I'm saying? Cause you've been saying that for quite some time. You know what I'm saying? Like, get that, and then everything
really
else will fall into place.
It really only applies. What kind of female does the person want? It really only applies to what kind of female they want. I mean, if you want a 5, then keep doing that. But if you're trying to get a 9 or a 10, you have to do differently. That's the real difference. A man who gets up in the morning and says, I only deal with 9s and 10s, he's going to create an environment where he attracts and can get 9s and 10s. But what if you're satisfied with just that? Then what?
What, satisfied with a 9 and 10? I mean,
What if you're just satisfied with a 5 or a 6? You see, because I know what to do to get me to feel deserving of a 9 or a 10, but I don't know how to get you there. I know how I get it. I don't know how I get you to want it.
I mean, it's a society we live in. I mean, white supremacist society. We just got to get our finances as best as we can. I mean, get, like you said, in that, what was that broadcast? Last Days of the Bedouins. Make sure you get your entrepreneurship rock solid. You know, you get your game together. Saying so, that's what we got to do as men. We got to build. So, it's that empowerment which brings the female. So, I don't need to, you know, sit there and do all that. I mean, you had a video up on your channel, Black Authority. It's not there no more. We're talking about Jesse simping in real time online. When he was fighting over some chick that was a single mom. So, I'm not doing that. So, I'm saying just get my situation together.
But understand, that's atypical of black males, period, though. And that's why I was saying the idea of I can do better, that's atypical of us as a group. We have the fattest women in the world as black men. Our women are the fattest women in the world because we don't have a cultural group acceptance of the idea that we can do better. We don't have that. And since we don't think we can do better, we don't insist on better. So it kind of just creates its own self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, but, I mean, wasn't it in that broadcast, you said, dangerous head games, right? We just have this psychological, that color struck thing, you know what I'm saying, with a non-black female. You just think that's a status symbol. You know what I'm saying? Like, even with P. Diddy, when he got with J-Lo, like, the status symbol, she wound up dumping him. So I'm not really interested in a non-black woman. I'm not. So I'm not going to get all color struck. And, I mean, there are some out there. You just got to, more applicable you are, I'm sure they'll come and find you. So I'm not going to, you know.
Well, I mean, but the real issue, though, is not the real issue is not about them. Understand, you attract people to yourself like yourself. When you start building, you start attracting builders. When you start getting on point, you start attracting on point people. And even people who aren't on point, they have to have a gap just to even talk. So if you want a better class of people around you, you have to start being a better class, a higher class of person. That's the way it works. So you don't have to focus outside of yourself, focus on yourself.
Yeah, yeah. How's 7 a.m. The DVDs?
Okay, we got word from them there. I mentioned this last week. I don't really want to say too much until we're 100% certain on it. The PAL DVDs have actually all been printed, and those are all done. The one disc series is all done. What is not done yet is the two disc. The two disc American is not done yet. Those are the ones that I'm waiting on now. Once I have all of them with me, we'll start processing all the orders at the same time. I'm expecting to have those probably midweek. Well, like I said, that's what I want to step on here next.
So I mean, just keep doing your thing, Jason Black. And I was also wondering if you can put me back on hold, but I want to continue listening in.
All right, we'll go ahead and put you back on hold here. Absolutely, we're glad about that as well. See if we can try to get that taken care of for everybody. We understand, as people say, patience. We know you're hungry. And also, we're still working on something very, which we think will be very interesting in particular for everybody. We're working on something for that here, planned out for this summer, and see if we can get that taken care of as well. I want to make that available to everybody. I definitely want to make that available to everyone because, and it doesn't matter where you are, even if you don't live in Chicago or Philadelphia, even if you don't live in those areas, it'll be worth your while to go. It'll be worth your while to go. Because there are a lot of people out there who talk about meetings or conventions. A lot of people out there who talk about these things, but not really ready to act on them. And this will be the beginning of the process of acting on these things. Now, for those of you who heard that broadcast, like I say, that'll be something that we're looking forward to here. When those things start coming together, I hope you'll take advantage of that as
what
well.
The hell?
Because a lot of people don't know this.
Yeah.
It's going to put a lot of people on notice that the situation has changed.
Do you have another cigarette on you?
The situation has changed and the standards have changed.
It's fine.
And the idea that we can just sit back and watch things occur, that's going by the wayside. That's going by the wayside.
Yeah, he's drunk.
When I talk about us doing better,
what I mean is
that holistically, as a group, we have to start.
Yeah, he sat back down.
For ourselves, not just as a group, but as individuals. So some of these excuses that we've been accustomed to accepting, that's not going to fly going forward. That's not going to make it. So for the people who are serious, we are starting to gather you together. For the people who are not, don't worry about it. Freedom's not for you. Your Zimmerman is coming. Don't worry about it. The people who think that the 21st century is going to be spent like the 20th century, that you're going to just sit on the back burner and watch other people earn your liberation for you, that's not the way it's going to happen. If you think that you're just going to sit back and other people are going to acquire what you need for you to survive while you sit back and just pretend to be somebody's orphan child just being taken care of, it's not going to work that way. Not going forward, it's not. Not going forward, it's not. So, we don't want to hear any excuses about it. We don't want to hear any excuses about what you don't have or what you can't do. Because we've been watching plenty of people who are lined up with tennis shoes and movies, but when it's time to actually own one, all of a sudden, you can't find anybody. Let's see if we can take another phone call here. Let me get a caller from 510. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Hey, Jason. This is William. I think I was on your show last week. I'm from the Bay Area.
And what's on your mind, William?
Right now, let's see, I just graduated a couple of years back. Hadn't been able to get a job, and so as a project manager. And so what I've decided to do was just basically try to start my own business. I just need to know what trends are happening. I'm also trying to work with Tariq with actually doing a network dinner documentary and then do a short workshop after that to try to empower a lot of us in this area to work together as a group or as an organization. And just so happens, I found out that that's what Marcus Garvey did in order to create wealth within the Black community. So I'm wondering, at this point, is this a good time to do this? Because it seems like I did a little polling, and the polling came out more like 80-90% yes than no. So I'm just kind of like wondering, is this a good direction to go? Because I can see myself more as a trainer rather than like a lecturer or a radio host. So I'm just trying to find out what I can do. Because my money is not great, I can tell you that. It's like, because the Bay Area is so high, and my income is really low. It's like at $50,000, it's like $10,000 over the poverty level. So that's not helping me, but I'm having to use that money to form my own project or event. So I'm trying to find out what is another way to create cash or create cash flow, because the more number of cash flows I have, I don't have to depend on just one to come in and take care of me. It's like I can take care of myself with 2-3 different cash flows. If one of them fails, at least I have more than one to fall back on. So that's where I'm at right now.
The first thing I'd be looking at here is, first of all, what you said, I can be a trainer, what would you be training people in?
Doing something where they basically can create their own cash flow. Whereas, you know, like finding out what their skills are so that they can figure out what they can do with those skills. Say like if a person is a chef, they can basically teach somebody to become a chef, one, which basically the thing, other part of this event is trying to create a black legacy as well. That's where the training would come in. Then, two, if that person is a chef and they're not even using that, but they could also cook at a place and also be able to have a catering business on the side. So it's kind of like trying to open the person's mind up to use all their skill sets that they have obtained from not just college or school, but from every part of life they've, you know, kind of worked in.
Okay, the next question becomes, what qualifies you to teach other people how to make money or refine their money-making capitalization abilities if you yourself have not mastered it?
Well, one, I'm going through it right now as an experience and finding out. Two, I've mastered project management.
Okay. Well, he was on the line. Something happened, and he is not on the line. We'll have to see if we can come back to that, I guess. He was on the line. Now he's not there. Okay, let's see. We can try another one here. Caller from, let's see, 706. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello.
Caller from 706, you're on live with the Black Channel. Another suspect visual playing on the phones. I should start giving out their phone numbers again. That usually keeps people from doing that. Probably have to see if we can get people to check on these folks when they start playing on the lines. Caller from 863, you're on live with the Black Channel.
How's it going, TBA? This is Donovan from Florida.
Donovan from Florida, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I'm just listening in, but we spoke yesterday about credit and using credit and stuff like that, and I was thinking about getting into the trucking business. I have a cousin who he already has a lot of you know, a good structure foundation already is set in place. And, you know, I was thinking about seeing if I was going to be eligible to get a certain type of loan to where I can invest into a truck for his business and get a but basically what it is that he's saying that it'll be years before I can see a profit, but I'm trying to figure out when investing in business, do you always expect not to see a profit in the first couple of years?
Usually, yes. You will usually put much more into it than you're going to be able to get out of it. But so there are two things to watch. First is cash flow. You got no cash flow, this is not going to be viable. That's the first thing you have to watch. Second thing is profitability. If you can't make this thing have a cash flow, you'll never make it profitable. So don't put one before the other. Concentrate on cash flow first and getting that up as high as it can be. Once that happens, then you can focus on profitability.
Can I tell you my business plan and you trying to kind of listen to it and tell me if that seems impractical or not?
I wouldn't be able to listen to an entire business plan, but
it's
why
pretty
don't
fast.
Just,
I can make it short.
Well, why don't you just give me the Reader's Digest version, as Bruce Williams used to say?
Well, basically, I want to get a loan from a bank, buy a truck, put someone else in that truck, but I want to have enough money from the loan to basically be have the capitalization for that loan or for the business idea, and then put somebody in that truck and make the payments to the truck from the capitalization on the loan, and basically let the driver pay for itself, get his paycheck out of that, and help pay the loan back. But basically, my backing will be the loan, and I'll be able to also get the truck out of the loan. So I start the business out of the loan, and I also back the business out of the loan. And can that work that way in the trucking business?
Okay, well, it doesn't matter whether it's trucking business, restaurant, or T-shirts. Typically speaking, when you're dealing with a business that has a return on investment off of equipment, what you are looking for is for the equipment to pay for itself. That's what you're trying to do. If you're renting houses, you want the house that you have rented to pay for the bank note plus put some money in your pocket.
Right.
So
but see, that way
you would not be looking to go take out a loan to go finance a truck and make payments on the truck with the loan that you've already taken out, because in reality you've gotten into debt twice. What you would do is you would take out one loan and you can finance the truck, but the truck is what will be paying for itself, plus leaving you some money left over.
Yeah, the truck pays for itself, but basically for, let's say, a driver needs to be towed out of a ditch or something like that, or something goes off on the truck, and I'll also be still working. I'm hoping that the truck payments will be maybe like $200 a week or something like that. And from the loan, and the truck basically pays for itself, and then pays for the expenses of, fuel costs and all that kind of stuff. And basically I have that, I pay off the rest of that loan. I just keep the loan for basically backing. I'm paying for the truck. The truck's paying for itself, and I'm making the payments for the financing through the truck, and I'm basically backing the truck through the loan. Is that impractical? Because it seems too easy.
It's a little convoluted. I mean, what you're saying is take out a loan and have some money in the bank left over. Basically is your rainy day fund and whatnot, and that's what you're supposed to do. But, I mean, don't make it more complicated than it really is. If you're going to be buying two trucks for $50,000 a piece, if you can put $8,000 down on each truck and have your drivers making your payments for you out of that and whatnot, in 24 months you'll be good on that. Probably before then, because if things go well, you can probably see about getting a third truck, quite possibly free and clear. It just depends. Because like I say, if you've paid for your truck, what you're really doing is paying back on the loan. Because like I say, it depends on whether you pay cash for the trucks or not. If you're going to finance them, you usually try to go deep. I don't think that would be necessary. You need to learn what you're doing. So if it were me, I'd start off with two or three trucks to begin with. Make sure I know what I'm doing first. And once I've got a proof of concept and can show that I can pay these things off without bankrupting myself or running into a bunch of unexpected things, once you got your legs steady under you, now you can start going in deep. Now you can go to a dealership and say, okay, I'll put $5,000 down on six trucks, which would be like $30,000. But I'll go down on six trucks now, because if you can handle the two, you can handle 10.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The trucking business is a lot more, and then when it comes to employee and taxes and, all that kind of stuff when you're trying to start your own business, and, constantly you're going to have money in trucking, but you're also going to be constantly spending money when it's the fuel and the fuel tax at the end of the year and all that kind of stuff. And
but
it's just hard.
Now you'll have a new world of deductions also, though.
True.
So that's the difference. You're not just going to be paying these things. You have deductions also. Now, if your business is running well and doing like it should be doing, you'll be able to pay that. If it's not, some things need to be reexamined.
Okay. Well, I sure appreciate that, TBA. The truck, I enjoy trucking. It's an easy job. But, you know, I see myself as a business person. I mean, I definitely want to get into business. That's what I see myself as. And I don't mind trucking, but I feel like that's I'm more than just trucking. I can do bigger than that. But in, it seems from everything I heard and, you know, when it comes to business, it just takes so long to get in position before you, and then it takes another 5 or 6 years to actually see any kind of change or growth. So I'm just trying to figure out something I'm good at for now. But I have passions in different areas. But I'm trying to figure out, you know, when you're trying to find a business, do you necessarily have to love what you're doing?
No. It is not a requisite to love what you're doing. Hopefully that is a great bonus to it. But no, Vince McMahon wanted to be a music promoter. He did not want to do professional wrestling. He wanted to be a music promoter. But he was good at professional wrestling.
Okay. And I just want
to... No, you don't have to love it. You just have to be good at it. Usually the things that we are best are the things we love doing. But that's not a requisite. The only requisite is that you do a good job at it.
And one more thing, if we wanted to start a Black Intelligent Network, social media network, how can we as a people go about that? What do we need to do?
Starting, you're talking about a social network on par with something like Twitter or Facebook?
No, I mean like a New Age BET or something like that.
That's
like
even bigger.
Not BET, but I'm just saying, let's get ourselves on TV. People, well, we talk about our issues and we can, you know, bring up this society on that television show or whatever. How can we get ourselves mainstream or even have our own Hollywood or something like that?
Well, I mean, basically, you are going to have a market. You're going to have people who are professional and being able to put out what you're referring to as our own media. Right now,
right.
You got the Black Channel and, you know, you got Tariq doing his thing and only a very, very few other people besides that. So right now, we're in the nascent stages of that. Right now, what we're doing. You know, we've been putting out movies and stuff like that, and that's a start. It's not perfect. It's not ideal, but it's a start. At least your flag is planted somewhere. At least we can point to some properties owned by Black people who are about the business and say, hey, at least we got something.
So let's say, yes, sir. So let's say I go out and get a nice HD camera to where I can film. Costs a lot of money to actually make a film, or is it the production? Like, where's the money? What's the big thing about the money? Like, what part costs? Is it the quality, or is it, you know, getting certain people to be in a documentary or in a movie or something like that? Like, what is going to what are you going to be your costs when you're trying to film a documentary or a movie or a show or something like that?
Well, I can't speak on a show. That would just depend on what kind of show you're trying to make. For a documentary, your biggest costs are going to be with your travel and your post-production. Those will be your biggest costs. Because equipment, you know, equipment has never been cheaper, actually. But your biggest costs are going to be travel and post-production. And the amount of time that you have to spend to pay people to do your videography for you. So that's part of that travel thing, because you have to go places and you got to ferry them around with you. And you got to pay for everybody to be there. So that's what's going to rack up expense more than anything else, is those two things. Your traveling and your post-production. because you have to have people to, you know, take care of those kind of things for you. If you want to proceed in a timely manner, those will be the two major things. But it really just depends on how far with it you want to go, how big of a production you want to go. Now, I'm a creative guy, and I got with some other creative people. And like I say, I tell everybody, we 7 a.m., it cost about $50,000 to do it. And
HD cameras to wear.
But for something like Hidden Colors, it costs probably two or three times more than that. Because Tariq talked to twice as many people as I did. And he had much more expensive gear than I had. So for something on the level of Hidden Colors, you're probably going to spend two or three times that amount. And I'm not even getting into other things like licenses and, you know, clearing things through your attorneys to make sure nobody just pops up later trying to sue you and stuff. And that's not guaranteed either, by the way. So you just try to cover yourself as best you can. And we won't even get into like theaters and DVD production and stuff like that. You're just talking about just making it. So,
right.
To be totally honest with you there, if you don't have between $50,000 or $100,000, you're probably not going to be able to do a very good production. It's going to be so.
Oh, okay.
I didn't want my project to look like a YouTube video. So if you want it to be above YouTube video standards, you have to do it at that level. If you're unwilling to do that, you won't get there.
Now, see, that's what I was going to mention that. I was going to mention something with, you know, and start some type of YouTube series that hopefully you can sell it, earn some type of following, and then later on try to sell it.
Okay.
If
well,
it's high quality to showing.
That's easier said than done. If you ever start doing your own productions, yeah, you'll see why. It's far easier said than done. But hopefully we will get to a point where that happens. It takes a significant amount of backing to be able to do something like that on a regular basis. You're basically running a regular production. But hopefully it will eventually get to that point. Hopefully.
All right, TBA. I mean, you know, I enjoy listening to the broadcast, and it definitely shoots ideas into my head and goals, and it drives me to want to, you know, for our own generation and for the next, you know, put things in place to where we don't have to have our hand out and, you know, keep it black first.
Well, think about this. Dr. Claude Anderson has a fishery in Maryland. Right up the coast from you. Right now, he has to call whites and Asians for his trucking. He doesn't have any black people to call. Think about that. Thank you very much for giving us a call here tonight. We're glad to hear from you. Let's get a caller from... Let's see here. If someone's playing on my phone, caller from 310, you're on live with the Black Channel. Caller from 310 is molesting their receiver. Okay, let's go ahead and see about removing them. We have a lot of folk who are, it's Friday, Saturday night, they're getting drunk on the phones. Caller from 706, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hello, TBA, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hey, how you doing, brother? My name is David, calling out of Columbus, Georgia. I was just listening in. It's my first time listening in. I just want to tell you that I appreciate everything you're doing. I was actually on hold listening.
Okay. If you wanted to be on hold to listen, that's why I told you to press number one.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry about that. I didn't hear.
Oh, okay. The other reason we're not getting nearly as much done as we could be getting done is that folks are not listening very well. Not listening very well at all. A lot of people ask about that kind of thing. They want to know about making their own media and whatnot. A lot of people ask that kind of thing. And that's good. That's good that people are asking that because we don't actually have any. We are the first generation of black people who have actually gotten serious about actually owning and controlling something. You got a bunch of black folk who consider it to be a mark of honor to be poor and broke and downtrodden and beaten on. And we are the first generation of black people who are serious about preventing that kind of thing from happening. Caller from 214, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hey, how's it going, Jason? This is the Last King from Dallas, Texas.
What's on your mind, King?
Man, just trying to soak up as much game as I possibly can from you, man. I listen to you every day. I respect what you're doing. I bought 7 a.m. I've seen it in theaters. I got the DVD now. I'm just really focused. I'm in school for computer programming right now, so just trying to get into apps and stuff like that. So that's really my focus.
Now, let me find out here, how long have you been listening to me?
Uh-oh. I've only been listening for 3 months now.
Okay, that's long enough.
Okay.
Now, do you feel like you have some purpose and direction for what you're in school for?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. At first, it was to work for Microsoft. Now, it's to own Microsoft, to make my own. So, absolutely.
Yeah, you'll want to make your own, because Microsoft is Microsoft is starting to look like a dinosaur. It's starting to look that way. They're aimless. Steve Ballmer totally and completely corrupted and destroyed that company. Now he's left to go to the NBA off on this team owner fantasy that he's on.
Yeah.
So he's totally gutted them. All they got at Microsoft right now is the Xbox and maybe Microsoft Office, which they've screwed that up badly under Ballmer. Like I say, the ground is so fertile right now for somebody else to swoop in and take their market share. It is as fertile as it's ever been.
Mm.
Look what Android.
Hey, that's
look what Android.
Yeah, true.
You doubt it? Take a look at Android. If anybody doubts it, look at them. If Android does follow through and make a desktop version, if Google does follow through with a desktop version of Android, Windows can. You might as well start boarding up the doors now. Save yourself the trouble. They tried to fight Google in mobile operating systems. We also saw how the Windows phone went.
Yep.
So if Google decides to go after them on desktops, especially with Microsoft toying with the idea of a yearly licensing fee, doing that cloud crap, turning Windows into a subscription like Adobe has done with their software, you can go ahead and go board up the doors. It's over.
A rap form. What do you think the future of Apple will be? Do you think, because I think I have a Samsung. Honestly, I have a Samsung. I like Android better than Apple. Do you think Cook is going to keep them competitive in the future, or what's your opinion on that?
So far, he has. So far, he hasn't had major missteps. The problem with Tim Cook is that he hasn't had any major wins either. They're basically coasting off of everything that Steve Jobs did. So, yeah, you're going to have like that when Jimmy Johnson left the Cowboys and Barry Switzer took over and took Jimmy Johnson's team that Jimmy Johnson built to the Super Bowl. But notice Barry Switzer could never take his own team to the Super Bowl, and he never went back. That tells you something.
Yes, it does.
Bill Belichick is showing you he can do that. You know? So in the case of Apple, Tim Cook has yet to show us he can go to the Super Bowl on his own. Let's see him come up with an original idea of his own that he puts out there in a major way. So far, he hasn't done it. So the long-term prospects for Apple are not good. The short-term prospects, it will be they're riding so high that it's going to take a long time for them to crash. But a talent like Steve Jobs doesn't come once in a lifetime. A talent like Steve Jobs only comes once. So long term, their goose is cooked. Short term, it will be a slow decline. There won't be any more uptick to them. It's just all slowly going downhill from here. It'll be so gradual that most people will probably not even notice when that sour money losing stage sets in.
Hey man, that's the thing about innovation. When you want to be innovative, it costs billions of dollars. For new software, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah.
It costs billions of dollars, or it takes one smart person. That's what it costs.
Hey,
it costs billions of dollars or one smart guy.
Hey, I respect that. That's true.
That's
Let me ask
wanna...
you, do you own any stock in anything? Do you own any stock?
No, I've never liked stocks. I'm not against them. I just don't have anything for them.
Okay.
I've owned stock in the past, and I'm not against them, and I won't tell you don't do it. It's not a bad thing. It's just not what I like. And the reason I don't like stock is because I don't like anything that I don't have direct control over. Now, I've missed a lot of money, too, by the way. I could have bought Google when it first came out. That was a dumb that because it was when it came out, you know, it was like a couple of $100s, and today it's a hell of a lot more. And like I say, it's one of those situations where, you know, I've just never felt comfortable. It's just not – stocks are not the type of investment I feel comfortable with. That's all. Not that they're bad. It's just not for me because I like to have control. When I see CEOs doing stupid things like Mary Barra at GM or whatever, I want to have the ability to change things. And being a stockholder, you're along for the ride, but you can't change anything. That's the problem. And the boards of directors and the laws we have in the United States for them are so corrupt now that when things start going bad, all you can do is just sit there and get took.
True. Now, the reason I asked you that is because I brought, you know, I was watching for 7 a.m. with my friend. I finally got him over here to watch it, and I started talking about stock. And he said, well, isn't that funding white supremacy if you own stock for these companies?
Hmm.
What's your opinion on that?
Your friend is
like
an
if
idiot.
I own that's all right. That's exactly what I was thinking.
But well, and what's his alternative?
No, yeah, this is a 9-to-5 mind.
Okay.
He's in a rat race. He wants to be, like you said, a slow death. He just wants to live in white supremacy.
Yeah, I mean, but next time somebody says something stupid to you like that, say, hey, I see your point. What's the solution? What do we do? Since we're not going to do that, what do we do? And just watch for the deafening silence.
Yeah.
I'll let you have the last word.
Hey. Family, whoever's going to change is going to change on their own. You can't make anybody change their mind. Black first.
Black first, as always. Thank you very much. Make sure you get the 2-disc set when it comes out, too, as well. That's going to have a whole lot more for you there. Let's see if we can grab another couple of phone calls here while we're at it. Caller from 510, you're on live with the Black Channel.
Hey. Yeah, I'm calling back. You were asking me that question of what gives me the authority to be able to try to help people with their with working or giving that type of information. One is part theory. Two, I basically have worked as a counselor as well, so I'm hoping that gives me. Oh, let me tell you, I'm William. From the Bay Area.
Okay, William, how much money have you made at coaching other and training other people?
Coaching, period. Not in this field. Coaching, period. Probably about a couple of thousand on and off that I decided to do, which was like physical training.
The answer is none. The answer is none.
Okay.
That's the answer. The answer is none.
Okay. I'm following.
Because when you're telling me that Joe money ain't straight, why in the world would I take financial advice from somebody whose money is not straight? He's in a ditch. I'm in a ditch, and he's going to train me to get out the ditch.
Because I'm pulling myself out of the ditch. I mean, like I said, I just
first
got
you
my master's
get out.
In process.
First, you got to get
right.
out. Once you get out the ditch, then you can move on to step two. You're already got your mind on step two, and you haven't finished step one yet. Step one is accomplish getting out of the ditch yourself. Step two is teach other people how to get out the ditch.
So it's not cool to climb out the ditch together?
Please tell me how many people that you've seen stuck down in a hole, and they both were able to get themselves out of the hole simultaneously.
They covered each other, put each other's back, and just kind of just walked up the hole.
Okay, so you're telling me that if I drop you down into a pit, that you and another person can both get out of the pit simultaneously by, quote, helping each other.
We can work together. Well, not
okay. You can
at the
you
chip.
Can work
okay.
together.
I got what you're saying. I got what you're saying.
An idea that extricates one of you, but you cannot both leave the hole simultaneously. That is physically impossible. In the words of Dr. John Henry Clark, in fantasy, it works just fine. But in the real world of the laws of physics, you can't do it.
That's true. Okay.
That's like me saying, how do I get to the top of the World Trade Tower? Well, just put on your Superman cape and fly up there. Well, in the world of fantasy, that works brilliantly. Or get your bat grappling hook and shoot it to the top and pull yourself up. In the world of make-believe, that works wonderfully. In the real world,
true.
It doesn't work at all.
True.
Okay. It doesn't work at all.
I got you on that. So you're saying don't try the idea. I mean, because basically...
I didn't say that.
What should I do? Oh, okay.
I'm saying that you need to actually know what you're talking about before you go try to train others.
Okay. Well, I do on that part because I understand that a lot of the stuff I know you guys are saying that people need to be able to get jobs, but a lot of times people need to have a mindset first. They need to have they need to get out of the employee mindset and get into a CEO type style mindset, which is what I would be doing.
How many places have you been CEO of?
At one time, I used to run my father's car wash before he decided to sell it or, you know, go get the reverse mortgage thing.
So basically, the answer is I haven't.
You're saying none.
Yeah, the answer is I haven't. Because, see, if you were a good CEO, you either could have gone immediately to another place or you could have sold your own immediately.
I just basically adopted the idea due to the fact that I was like really frustrated with working for an employer, and I just decided after just kind of like getting an understanding, a different type of understanding, that I would have to look at my employer as a client, and that I'm working with his clients, and that's how I would just kind of like change my mindset so that I could start doing my own stuff. And looking at everybody else as a client as opposed to as an employer, because if I'm looking at it as an employee, I'm stuck with their environment. I'm frustrated.
Okay, everybody
no way of getting out.
Everybody doesn't like working for an employer. Okay, everybody doesn't like working
right.
Here's the problem.
Right.
The problem is everybody doesn't want to work for an employer, but nobody wants to get together the actual necessary skill set that they need in order to be their own. The purpose is not to escape your employer. The goal should be to become capable of being your own employer.
Right. And so that's why we use Neely Fuller's idea, which is starting off with the part of being curious, with the curiosity, but jumping forward to where a person is being mentored to something that they want to do, because that's what I found that I had to do was go through a mentor and be an apprentice, go through a mentor and get to that point to where I mastered it. But then now I'm going around and I basically want to go back and teach other people, one, if they want to become a project manager, is help them to master that, because I basically went through that whole phase for about 4 years, through school and through internship work, to where I could be my own project manager. And so basically I just decided I would go in that direction.
That you could do. You could teach other people how to be a project manager, whatever that is, but you could teach them how to do that. Yeah, but that other stuff you were talking about, no, you can't do that. Now this one, you
show them how to be... what you say? You say I wouldn't be able to show them how to take their own skill sets,
you wouldn't be able to teach anybody else how to make money, but you could teach them how to be a project manager. That you could do.
Right, and then the other thing is that by gathering as enough people, it's like basically getting people to meet, because it's a networking. So they'll meet people who will run into the idea of what they want to do, so that they can meet up with people and get with that person and be able to be mentored by that person. So that's what I'm trying to do is bring people together.
Is, The main problem is what that person will be mentoring them for, and that is all dependent on how qualified is he to mentor them. You see, if you're qualified to mentor, other people will come find you. And as black people, too often what happens, particularly with black males, we go kicking in the hustler mode, trying to figure out how we can just make some money, and then we just go off and try to sell people something for nothing. We want them to give us money, and in exchange, we give them some invisible, imperceptible, intangible that you can't see and can't measure. Now, I don't do intangibles. I do tangibles. It's the first thing I start looking for when somebody wants my money. I start looking to, wait a minute, what am I actually receiving? Now, in your case, they wouldn't actually be receiving anything. What I'm telling you is that white men are not scrutinized like that, and black men who want to go into the clergy are not scrutinized by other black folk like that. When it comes to business, black men get scrutinized very, very heavily. So it's going to be very hard for you to sell people an intangible. I will coach you. I will train you. I will mentor you. Those are intangibles. Your track record of accomplishment, that is a tangible. And you notice that you're trying to leapfrog that. Let me get to coaching and training, but with no accomplishments. Let me leapfrog that part. Yeah, you want to get to the part where you start charging people money.
So how do I feel in that middle then? Because
you want to be a project manager, clearly you can. That you can do. That other stuff you were talking about, once you actually have a successful venture, then you can go teach other people how to do their own successful venture. Once you've got that.
Okay.
Now, you called up here and in the chat room, you just said something different in the chat room, and that was the reason why I said for you to call up, and you haven't said anything about that.
I'm not near my computer right now.
I'm not near my computer right now.
What was it? Somebody was talking about relationships or something? Or was it? It was something. Somebody was saying something about.
You were educated.
Kind of negative.
Empowerment is.
Right. I was saying instead of some people saying, you know, why is that person calling or why are they going? I said, that's not black empowerment. If they downing somebody, I just figured that black empowerment means that is do what you've been doing, which is listening to that person and trying to help them get.
Let me guess. Now you're having phone trouble.
Okay. Could you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. Your phone was breaking up on you.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. But yeah, I look at it like people, you know, people can't just keep downing people because that's, you know, I think that kind of discourages some people in a sense, as opposed to like, why is that person calling and why are they doing this? Because that person, like, what's his name? Devon or something like
that.
He was asking all this.
Well.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
Yeah, you don't listen very well. You talk very well, but you don't do very good at listening.
Well, I hear you talking.
Okay. What was it they said that was bothering you? Exactly what did they say?
I don't, like I said, I don't, closest thing I can remember they were saying, it was something. Because like I said, I'm not in my, I came outside. I forgot what it was.
Okay.
Now. Get a little help.
People who want assistance, a problem that we have in black society is that people who are on the wrong road, they usually say something really dumb. Something along the lines of, well, why did you have to say it like that? You see, black folk don't actually want to get correct. They don't actually want to be correct. They just want to be told what they want to hear. And anytime somebody corrects them, they want to try to say, oh, I'm being insulted or offended. And ultimately, when you try to coddle them, you can put it in as nice a terms as you want to. Eventually, these bastards will degenerate into, well, you do you, me do me. Now, you don't have to call them bastard baby makers. You don't have to call them sluts and hoes. You can just say that raising a child without their father is not healthy for the child, and they will tell you, you do you, me do me. The same thing they told you when you said you're a bastard baby-making slut. It didn't change anything. They just want to be told what they want to hear. And one of the things that I look out for, now here's a situation where nobody was cursing at anybody, nobody was insulting anybody, and I'm not even really sure who it was you were referring to when you were saying that. Who exactly were you referring to as saying that I'd rather him get good info from somebody I trust rather than have him climb under a rock? Who were you referring to?
Oh, that was it Devon? Because he called in yesterday and today. I listened to your show yesterday through on the tape. And I was saying give that man props for coming to you. Because seemed like he wasn't getting the information he needed elsewhere, but he came to you because he felt comfortable asking you because he felt like he could get information from you to correct his situation.
Okay.
Which I thought was cool.
Who gave him a hard time?
I don't know. It was it was a couple of chatters on the line.
Okay.
And
if you'd like for me to, I can read everything that was said. If you'd like, I can do that.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Maybe I missed something. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Starting at 7:32, way too soon from Ambush 2. 7:32, Asha Mayat, Asha Mayat, okay. Negus, exactly. Misstep, Asha, you are starting to get embarrassed for Florida? Because I am, and I'm not even from there. Now, that was when the first caller from 239 was on. Negus, 7:33, LOL. Asha, 7:33, LOL. Yes, girl, that's why I said, Asha Mayat, he's doing okay, though, at 7:34. You, 7:34. I'd rather him get good info from somebody I trust rather than have him climb under a rock. 7:35, Stephanie, I wonder what caller situation is. 7:35, Asha Mayat, how together? 7:35, Miss Stephanie, I thought he said something about he was trying to get his stuff together. I could be mistaken. You again, 7:38. Then when somebody tried to do better, we treat them like, get out of here. That's not black empowerment. Now, I've read everything that happened from that exchange, from the caller from 239 to Donovan, who was the one after him. Now, who were you referring to?
I was just referring that in general because I had seen a couple of times the day before.
Why are you getting all soft and beepish on your phone now? I asked you a question. Who were you referring to? I just read everybody. I named them off. Surely you heard what you were referring to in there because I just read everything. So
right, but I'm not in front of my computer. I'm just listening on. I'm listening through the phone.
But I just read it to you. I just literally sat here and read it to you, and you're saying I didn't hear anything in there that I was responding to, but I literally read everything. Literally.
Okay.
So I'm saying, which one of those things that you just heard, where was it you got the response that it got from you? Because you responded to one of those things as saying people, if somebody tries to get information, and I'd rather they come here instead of climbing under a rock, okay, who said something that prompted that response from you? Because I just read everything. I just read it all.
Okay. It was a female. I know it was from yesterday. That's when I first noticed it, and then somebody said, oh, my God. I mean, I saw somebody put up there, oh, my God, and that's when I said, well, you know.
So, Dar,
something
you read yesterday. You came back today to respond to something that you read yesterday.
Well, it, Well, when it happened today, that's why when somebody said, "Oh my God, like, why is he calling?" or "Not again," I just like, you know, I'm like, why are we knocking this dude when he's just trying information so he can correct his own life?
Okay,
that's what I'm saying.
I just read to you everything that was read. Nobody said, "Oh my God, why is he calling again?" Literally, nobody said that.
"Oh my God," and I seen something to say it again. So if I didn't, then maybe I made a mistake.
I just read to you everything, and you're still trying to sit here and say, "Oh, I heard something. I saw something else." I literally just sat here and read to you everything. I literally just did that, and you're still trying to insist that there's something else that was said. Something else that nobody saw and nobody heard except you. That's what I was referring to.
Okay.
How's the coaching business? How's the training business going to go?
I don't know. I'm not even thinking. I'm looking at the computer right now.
We're off to a rocky start.
Yeah.
Hopefully it gets better. We're off to a bit of a rocky start. You can read as much as you like to. I read everything. I read everything from that period that you're referring to. But you can definitely read as much as you'd like to. In the future, like I say, I don't mind people speaking on black empowerment. I just only insist that people actually be referring to things correctly, because if somebody is doing something that shouldn't be done, I'll be the first one on top of that. But my real issue is when people start referring to things and saying, "Oh, that's not black empowerment," that if people don't say things the way that you want them said, that's not black empowerment. That's the kind of thing that I take a look at. Because, you see, we got a lot of super sluts out there with bastard babies who say that, "Oh, saying super sluts and bastard babies, that's not black empowerment." We cannot let the lowest common denominator define what being black, man, or woman means anymore. We have our best fighters doing that.
Okay. I think so, man.
Hope things go well for your training endeavor.
All right. And
thank you very much for giving us a call here tonight. We can do better. We can do better. We can do better. All right, we'll go ahead and wrap it up here tonight. This concludes tonight's broadcast of the BlackChannel.net Radio. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. And until next time, brothers and sisters from around the world, remember, black is the future, and the future is uncompromising.